Welcome to the Ascent Church Podcast. We hope this message from Pastor Gary Armley inspires you to pursue God, equip people, and release hope.
Well, good morning. How wonderful it is to be able to serve the Lord, right? Well, I'm going to talk about the Holy Spirit again. He's my favorite person to talk about, and we need him desperately in this hour. And I know if you're like me, you've barely begun to scratch the surface of understanding who he really is. And so let's just pray. Father, I just thank you that we together get to learn who you really are. We get to learn how you function, how you love. We get to learn that you're very real and you have a personality just like us, that you really are like the Father and the Son. So Holy Spirit, teach us this morning and open up our hearts. And Father, I pray that the religious spirit wouldn't put people to sleep. I bind it in the name of Jesus. And Father, I just pray that our hearts would be open to hear what you want to do through us, in us, and all around us. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Well, I'm a person who has a fairly good-sized library because of the years of studying. So this past couple of weeks, I've been reading through my Holy Spirit books, which are quite a number. And Jack's been watching TV by himself at night because I've been in my office reading. Because people have different opinions on this and have received different revelations, one from the other. And so I wanted to make sure that I had a better understanding than I had already. So I'm going to start with scripture. And a lot of my scriptures today will be out of the Passion Translation and the King James. He will glorify me on earth, for he will receive from me what is mine and reveal it to you. Everything that belongs to the Father belongs to me. That's why I say that the divine encourager will receive what is mine and reveal it to you. That's out of the Gospel of John, chapter 14. I can die of starvation with $1 million in the bank. If I don't withdraw from what is in my account, my wealth is but a dream. Everything in my account in Christ is beyond my wildest expectations. We can't make a withdrawal if we don't know what exists in that account. Jesus models just the beginning of what's really there. It is in the Word that we find out what God has really given us, and we need to find out what Jesus has, and everything he has for us. Not just a little bit, but everything he has for us. It's the Holy Spirit who reveals to us what's been given to us. But if we don't know who he is, and we only think of him as a wind, a dove, fire, river, we will remain in poverty, and the bank account stays closed. There is so much that we're not walking in. So much. The Holy Spirit releases what Jesus alone possesses into our accounts. And that's done through the prophetic word, through the reading of the word. It's done in worship when he speaks to us personally. It's done in times of prayer. Every time he speaks to us, he transfers eternal resources into our account. These resources enable us to finish our assignments. And this is my own very short testimony of my assignment. My assignment was to build Antioch, now Ascent, the covering still Antioch. That was my assignment. My assignment was to establish, first of all, the Woodsley Prayer Community. God put faith in my heart, put people around me who could see what God wanted to do, who started declaring, oh no, you're not just meant to be a prayer community, you're meant to be a church. It's like, what? And you're called to be the pastor. No, no way. But it was what God was saying. And it took other people to come around me to help me to begin to step into that a little at a time. So we got these, I got these prophetic words, and the board got prophetic words, and we began to read them together, and then the right people came along. And let me tell you, it took faith to do it. I had to believe that what God was saying was the truth. I remember when it was time to look for a new facility, a minister and a prophet by the name of William Hildreth prophesied that God already had the building and that the money was in the bank and that there was a check up there made out for me, meaning for the ministry. And you hear it and you go, Lord, we've been looking all over Woodsley because that's where we were looking, because that's where we were at the time. Thinking, where is it? Where is it? We don't see it. But it stirred faith in us. And at the right time, and that wasn't too much later, God brought a piece of paper into our hands, which was an advertisement for this place. And faith arose in us. And the Holy Spirit began to function even more in our midst. I mean, the building was just one thing. We needed all the chairs, the sound systems, the dining room tables, the chairs, you know, the dishes, the cutlery, on and on and on and on the list went. And we had to have faith for all of it. And without the Holy Spirit, could not have done it. It took him to keep encouraging. It took him to bring people along to encourage. I remember the day we were right before our conference, and our main stove upstairs, an old one, broke down. And I looked at Pastor Jeff, and I said, what do we do now? He says, well, he says, do you have faith for a new one? Oh, to think about it. Do I have faith, Lord? Yes, I do. And the girls went out. I forget now where they went, but it was a kitchen place. Well, they just happened to be wanting to change out the one they had, and they were getting a new one, and they said, you can have this one at a really good price, and we can deliver it today. Faith just brought it in. It wasn't there one moment, and the next moment it's there. But it took people speaking the truth, people stirring my faith, and then stepping into that faith. And it all happens by the Holy Spirit. God did it. The early church was led by the Holy Spirit. They lived in a very difficult time, in a time much more difficult than ours. Nero was beheading people. Was not a nice season. The religious spirit was after them. And yet they got hungry. And they pressed forward, and they began to grow. And in a short while, there were 5,000 people already as part of the church. Like, it just grew exponentially. So God has an assignment for you and I here on the earth. He really does. We're not just here to take up space. It's God's people who are to bring light into darkness. And we're filled with light. So you're going to hear this from time to time in this house. And some of you are very familiar with this, and some may not be. But in Genesis 1, we always go back to Genesis, the beginning. It says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. The Holy Spirit, in one translation, it says, gently fluttered or moved over the earth. It can mean to brood or to incubate. Think about that, to brood or to incubate. It describes the utmost care and attention of a mother eagle caring for her young. This same Holy Spirit overshadowed or brooded over or incubated within Mary, the Son of God. when the Holy Spirit came on her, and Pastor Jay taught about that about 3 weeks ago, he came upon her, and he did over her what he did over the earth. He brooded over it, and he brooded over her, incubated, and Jesus came forth. And when he did, the glory of the Lord came on her to the level that when she walked into Elizabeth's house, the baby within Elizabeth leapt for joy, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, that's a lot of glory. And we're called to carry all that glory. You and I are. When we're born again, God comes into us. That means the glory comes into us. We're called to carry the glory. And we think, wow, but yeah, that's what God wants. At creation, Adam and Eve were given dominion to govern the earth. And that's going to be my thrust this morning, okay? They were to guard and protect the garden and expand it. We have to understand that Satan didn't come into that garden just saying, I want that, that's mine. He knew he had to get that dominion because dominion empowers. See, we carry dominion and that should empower us. But I think a lot of us, including myself, don't fully understand what all that is for us. And because man was given the keys of dominion over the planet, the devil would have to get his authority and his dominion. The suggestion to eat the forbidden fruit was simply the devil's effort to get Adam and Eve to agree with him in opposition to God, thus empowering him. We have to realize that to this day, it's through agreement the devil comes to kill, steal, and destroy. Jesus came to restore dominion to us and authority to us through the shedding of his blood and resurrection life. I want to say loud and clear, we are in charge of the earth. We got to get this. We are in charge of the earth. We're always saying, God, why don't you do this? God, why don't you do that? And God gets blamed for everything. God says, but I gave it to you. I put you in charge of the earth. And I've equipped you to make a difference. Psalm 115, 16, the heavens, even the heavens are the Lord, but the earth he has given to the children of men. In the Passion, it says, the heavens belong to our God. They are his alone. But he has given us the earth and put us in charge. So we're in charge. But we can't do much when we don't have the Holy Spirit working through us. If we don't have the Holy Spirit manifesting in our lives, we don't just walk up to someone, hear from God and speak into their lives, because it requires the Holy Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit. And so if you're not baptized in the Holy Spirit, I want to encourage you to come to the front afterwards and get prayer, because you need the Holy Spirit to function. You know, the man that gave Pastor Rod the car was hearing the Holy Spirit, even though Pastor Rod hadn't said a word. Holy Spirit spoke to him and said, your pastor is without a car. And I'm sure his income wasn't of a level that he could go out and buy a car. And so the man heard and gave the car. The same with the man who gave him $500 to step into his next, to go on a mission trip. Well, actually school, right? So we need the Holy Spirit. We get the authority, it comes with the commission, go into all the earth. That's where we get the authority. God says, go. But then the Holy Spirit comes and gives us the power. And so we need him. Jesus himself did not manifest the power of God until he had been baptized in the Holy Spirit. Angels pronounced him as Lord at his birth, but nothing that typified Christ's ministry, preaching, healing, casting out demons, raising the dead, etc., happened until the Holy Spirit baptized him. Matthew 3:16, when he had been baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Holy Spirit of God descending like a dove, aligning upon him. And suddenly a voice came from the heavens saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." The baptism in the Holy Spirit served as the turning point from the natural to the supernatural. That's what shifted everything. And the Holy Spirit never left Jesus. He stayed with him. You know, it's so crucial. It's hard to put into words how crucial it is that we understand the Holy Spirit and carry him. It's so crucial to make changes. Jesus also was tested. It says right on the back of it that Spirit led him into the wilderness after fasting 40 days and praying. Jesus had just heard from the Father, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." Jesus hadn't done a miracle yet. And the devil said, "I want what he's got. I'm going after it," just like I did with Adam and Eve in the garden. That's what that whole temptation in the wilderness was all about. I want your identity. You've been told who you are. I want it. I want you to bow down to me. And trust me, he does the same thing to you and I. Every time we get a prophetic word that God's going to do something with our lives, he begins to contest it. Most of us, some of us maybe, don't understand what's happening. I learned by sanctified experience that every time I received a prophetic word, he was going to fight me. And so learn to get sharp in that whole area. And so did the intercessors. You're not going to do this. I mean, his pattern hasn't changed. He does the same thing. Jesus emerged from the wilderness. In Luke 4:14, it says he returned in the power of the Spirit. He goes into Galilee and he gives his message, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, and he has anointed me to preach the good news." We're all familiar with that. From that point on, Jesus did what he was anointed to do. Many times the Lord admitted his total dependence on the Father and the Holy Spirit. John 5:19, then Jesus answered and said to them, "Most assuredly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself, nothing, but what he sees the Father do. For whatever he does, the Son also does in like manner." Jesus could not function without the Holy Spirit. That's how he heard. That's how he communicated with the Father. The Father would speak, and the Holy Spirit would speak to Jesus. The three of them are constantly working together. And that's what God wants to do with you and I. He wants to use us in the same way. He wants to be able to speak to us so that we can pray into situations. They work together. You know, I listen to conversations, and so many people get excited because it's getting darker in the world. And we're going to be out of here soon. I want to tell you, that's not biblical. We're to be light in the middle of darkness. Amen? Come on, are we to make a difference? Bible, when in the Our Father, it says, "Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." God's kingdom has to be expanded. There are people that need to know Jesus. There's pain and chaos all around us. We need to be cheering because it's dark and we get to go to heaven? Or do we get our boots on and our our anointing up and say, no, all those people who are hurting are going to come into the kingdom. If the Holy Spirit is in me and the Holy Spirit's in you, then the precious Holy Spirit can come and brood over them too. So life comes forth in them. On Boxing Day, I had to take my brother to meet a friend and ended up parking in on Pulitzer. And I think that's where the downtown mission is. I think that's what's there. And we had to wait for the gentleman to come, and it took him a little bit of time. And I'm looking around, and I thought, God, what a place of ministry this is. I mean, these were the people that always came into the Lazarus Outreach Center. So many broken, so many hurting. I thought, God, where's the church? Help us, Lord. Help us. These people are dying. Lord, help us. It wasn't until Jesus came that Satan's kingdom came under attack. John 1:3-8, it says, the reason the Son of God was revealed was to undo and destroy the works of the enemy. And he does that through us. Jesus began it by healing the sick and casting out demons, raising the dead. We know the stories and we love the stories, but we're to step into that story. Jesus did his part. He's saying, when are you guys going to do your part? When's the church going to do what she's supposed to do? And I love Christmas celebrations like everybody else, but the truth is that's not what it's about. The truth is about a dying world all around us. And Peter, James, and John, and all those guys, they couldn't step into any of this until they were baptized in the Holy Spirit, until they were saved, until they were then baptized in the Holy Spirit. They couldn't do it, nor can we. We can do a lot of good works, but it isn't going to change the heart and the pain in a person's life. We can put, and Judy would know that better than anybody, we can put someone in an apartment who's a street person. We've done it. Within a short time, they're out and on the street again. Because the internal change hadn't happened fully. And so, and we carry all that within us. We really do. If we have the Holy Spirit, we have word of wisdom, we have word of knowledge, we have understanding, we have prophecy, we carry faith, we carry healing, we carry miracles. It's all packed inside of us, looking for a way out. When the Holy Spirit came, he came as a counselor. And it says he came as the helper, the paracletos, one who's very close to us, 1 John 2:1. It says, my little children, no, hang on. But in looking at this, do you know that Jesus is our paracletos too? We have two of them, two helpers. It's 1 John 2:1. My little children, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. Advocate is the word paracletos. So we got two of them that want to help us. Jesus intercedes for us in heaven, and the Holy Spirit fills us and wants to move through us here on the earth. Right? So in the book of Acts, and I'm not going to go there, but Acts 2:1-5, the Holy Spirit falls. And everything about their lives changes. All of a sudden, I mean, Jesus had ascended already. And they knew what it was like to be near him. They knew the love and the comfort and the peace, the excitement of walking with Jesus. They knew what it was like. And then he's gone. But he says, just wait. Wait in Jerusalem because I'm sending the Father's promise. And then on Pentecost, the Holy Spirit falls and they're filled. And that same sense that they had when they walked with Jesus, is now inside of them. And all of a sudden, they're transformed. Yes, they pray in tongues, and that's evidence of being baptized in the Holy Spirit. But the bigger thing was they were changed inside. Where they were timid and denied Jesus, now Peter's bold. And he can preach a message with great boldness. They're all bold, and they begin to move forward. And so, just to give you a few ideas of how they move forward, Acts 4:3, Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, answered, "Respected elders and leaders of the people, listen." I mean, they had healed somebody, they were preaching, and people were getting saved, and the hierarchy's getting mad, so they're hauled in. And that's Peter. That's how he starts. Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit. Acts 8:29, the Spirit said to Philip, "Go near and overtake this chariot." That's the conversion of the Ethiopian eunuch. Acts 8:39, the Spirit carries Philip away after the Ethiopian eunuch is converted. Acts 10:19 to 20, the Spirit instructs Peter to go to Cornelius' house, and the Gentiles come into the kingdom. Acts 11:12, the Spirit told me to go with them, doubting nothing. I mean, it just goes on and on. The Spirit told me. The Spirit led me. The Spirit said, don't go into this area right now, and blocked him. Well, then Paul says, I want to go here. And the Holy Spirit says, no. He says, well, then I'm going to go here, because he's still learning. And the Holy Spirit says, no. And then a man comes up, shows up in his dream, who says, you got to come to Macedonia. And the Holy Spirit says, yeah, that's where I want you to go. And I mean, I've got a list of them, but for sake of time, because I want to read something else to you, I want to have enough time to do it. The Holy Spirit is like a river. And Jesus talks about him that way in John 7:37 to 39. On the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, if anyone thirsts, so are you thirsty? If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the Spirit has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. But this he spoke concerning the Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive. For the Holy Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. So Jesus likens him, the Holy Spirit, to a river, because he flows through us. When a river flows, it affects everything, right? Because if it isn't moving, it's a stagnant pool. But a river flows. And even in times of great drought, if a tree is planted alongside a river, it's going to stay green, okay? So even in a season of great drought, you and I are to be full of life, healthy, bearing fruit all the time. There can be a drought, but if I spend time in this, and if I spend time praying and asking the Holy Spirit to continually fill me, I'm going to be a green tree. And so are you. Psalm 1:1-3, I think we all know this one. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seats of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. The Holy Spirit first moves through us and then into others. But while the Holy Spirit's moving through you and I, we're getting healed too. Got emotions that need healing. Got memories that need healing. Got abusive situations we grew up. Maybe we had an alcoholic parent and we were abused. As the Holy Spirit flows through us, from the day he comes to us, we begin to get healed. And as our emotions get healed, guess what? Our body gets healed. Because our emotions affect our body. And it's true. It works that way. And so even as we're going out, and we may not feel all that great, even as we're going out, God is in the process of healing us and healing others. Amen? It's amazing, really. And Ezekiel talks about the fact wherever that river flows, you know, there's healing wherever it goes. And that's what we need. Now, I want to close with one more point about the Holy Spirit, and that's prayer. And Pastor Rod just announced prayer. Our prayers are not only one of the ultimate expressions of our co-laboring with God, but they are also the manifestation of our free will. We choose to align ourselves with God or we don't. Many of the things that God desires will never come to pass because people are not available. It's our spiritual responsibility to know the will of God and pray things through. It is spiritual irresponsible to know the will of God and assume it will happen simply because God said it. It's our responsibility. We used to have a prayer room that was full. This place only exists because of faith and because of a people who were tenacious in prayer for years. When we didn't even know that God wanted this birth, we had no idea. A people prayed. Saturday morning, 6 o'clock in the morning till lunchtime, we stormed heaven. And in the process, we were birthing all of this. Didn't know it. But he was. And he birthed, through our prayers, birthed the revival we had for a season. Now there's maybe five of us in the prayer room. And we're not quitting till God stirs this again. Because it has to get stirred. Church, if we don't pray, we're in trouble. Canada's in trouble. And we can stand on street corners all we want with placards and get mad at our government. And yes, we need to sign petitions and do that kind of stuff. But I'll tell you right now, a couple of hours in here, all of us praying together will do a whole lot more than holding up a sign. Because we have dominion. And we're in charge of the earth. So it's in here we change things. Are you aware that they are moving forward again to change the euthanasia law? Are you aware that they now want to kill babies from 0 to 1 year old if they're handicapped? Or they have something wrong with them. That's what we're going to be fighting for. They want to do that. Teenagers can get euthanized now. Mental health issues. But mental health issues can be healed. You don't get kill somebody over that. Like, this is a slippery slope we're on that's scary. And if the church doesn't begin to pray, we're in big trouble. Bill C-9 is one thing, losing our religious rights. But when I read this one, I thought, no, I'm just imagining it. And then a member of parliament spoke into it. I thought, I'm not imagining it. This is their next move. They're going to try and do this. And it all goes through just quietly. But we can stop it in prayer by petitioning the Lord. Because life and death is the Lord's. We can now have abortions in Canada if we don't like the fact that we're carrying a girl and we want a boy. Come on, this is our country. Are you aware? It's scary. And so we're called to pray. this prayer make a difference? You bet it does. I want to share a testimony with you. Got just enough time. 1996, it's called the Inuit Revival. And I was privileged to meet this man, have him in my church, and have him as a speaker at the Harvest of Glories that we had years ago. The Inuit, those living on the barren and frozen land of northeastern Canada, were not only enduring the climate's brutal conditions, but they were also suffering from intense spiritual barrenness. In 1996, following passionate prayer, the once spiritually barren people experienced a visitation from God that transformed the community after community. They were moved there by the Canadian government, eh? They lost their identity. They were forgotten people that I had to look up to because I thought, am I right on this? Sure enough. Like the barrenness of the land, there was a deep inner barrenness. For decades, the people struggled to find their identity. With no sense of place or purpose, communities were spiraling into darkness. The loss of their culture and traditional ways enhanced their shame and enhanced the darkness surrounding them. Entire communities were often drunk or high on illegal drugs. With no police laws or community rules, there was fighting all the time. Spousal abuse was rampant. Sexual abuse, rape, and incest were rampant. Fear of being assaulted was a cloud surrounding every young woman. There were deep emotional wounds and no way to process them. Suicide was common, gunshots, inhaling solvents, or strangulation. The caribou, or the reindeer, fish and berries that were once abundant began to disappear. Their condition was so devastating that the Canadian Broadcast Corporation, or CBC, sent a television crew to investigate. They found that the suicide rate among teenagers was 20 times the Canadian average. In 1996, intercession in Pond Inlet began. They began to intercede for revival, desperation, and the results were immediately tangible. Attempting to describe the intensity of prayers, Harry Tulagat said, the wailing in the churches, the pain. It was this travailing prayer that ascended as incense before God, resulting in an open heaven. Puvarintu, I'm not Inuit. The convicting power, 1996, of the Holy Spirit became intense, drawing people to the Lord in great numbers. And people just began to repent. He says, I've seen men get up, publicly confess that I've abused my children and I've abused my wife. The convicting power was so great in Pond Inlet that the people were led to clean their houses of everything that was deemed sinful. Illegal drugs, pornography, alcohol, heavy metal music. In an effort to demonstrate repentance, people would bring their objects to the church, and that's where they would burn them. Okay. The Canadian Mounted Police were involved, and they actually didn't find them. There's pictures, you can go on the website and read it all, but they actually helped them burn everything. On Sunday, February the 28th, 1999, the Anglican Church, St. Timothy's Church in Pond Inlet, held special revival meetings for a week with a special Sunday afternoon youth service on that day. During this service, an invitation was given for the youth to come to the front of the church if they wanted to get closer to God. It was then, according to the evangelist Billy Arnacook, that something began to happen. that was out of their control. And it's in this place that the Holy Spirit came in. And it came in like a wind. And it came in like it would have on Pentecost. I mean, the recording's there. I debated playing it, but I think for lack of time. But you can hear it just coming like a roaring train. And it comes in. And everybody gets slain in the spirit because the glory's so heavy. And the guy on the soundboard thinks it's his soundboard's malfunctioning, and he shuts everything down, and the soundboard recorded everything. The girl at the keyboard is slain in the spirit. The keyboard continues to play, and the Holy Spirit just comes through. And when you hear it, they're screaming, fire, fire. They don't know what to do with it all, nor would we if it happened here. But what it did was incredible. He said it was so humbling that I wanted to continually come before God to ask for healing and cleansing of my heart, to become pure before him. There was an immediate response, Lord, I want to be clean. The result of the revival, communities were changed. People were set free. Suicides immediately dropped off. Crime at all levels diminished. Relationships were restored. Every community in the Arctic began experiencing revival. Unity among the churches occurred, as well as the development of Inuit leaders. The gospel began to infiltrate the political arena, with some mayors opening their council chambers with prayer several times per week. The land began to produce again, with caribou and fish being more populous, as well as the land producing plants with yielded berries. Several years after the revival started, Harry Tulagak said, "We have an almighty and all-forgiving God, and families have been healing over these past 6 to 7 years. It has been wonderful to see the moving of God in our community." All due to prayer. So how can we not meet to pray? Go downtown and look. You want to see chaos? You want to see pain? Just go down Olette. Go down Pulitzer. Look at the people who are devastated. And we can stay at home, do nothing, and say, well, they're drug addicts or this or that. But guess what? We're in charge of the earth. And God loves them. He died for them. And he loves them just as much as he loves us. And so I want to challenge you. When we have prayer, come for prayer. Not wanting to make you feel guilty, but we need to pray. I think it's a desperate cry on my part. 5 of us cannot carry this. It's too much. Sometimes 7 or 8. Now I'm talking Tuesday mornings, but we're going to have a night of prayer for the new year. You know, it's time to gather and to pray from the youngest to the oldest. Amen? Yes. Children can learn to pray. Those teenagers sure prayed in Pond Inlet because, I mean, this is written up, but when I talked to James, he said the kids wanted an afternoon service in an Anglican church. They didn't care what the label was. They just knew too many of their friends were dying. And so they were desperate, and we need to get desperate. So, Holy Spirit, I ask that you make us desperate. Make us desperate. Open our eyes to see what you see. And help us to recognize we carry you inside of us. And so whatever you ask us to do, you'll do through us. And you give us the faith to do it. Because you give to every person a measure of faith. We're not doing this alone. Jesus didn't do it alone. He had the Father and he had the Holy Spirit. We have Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen? So Father, stir us. Stir us to care about the broken and the hurting. To give up an evening because it is all free will. It's what are we going to do? What are we going to do? What are we going to lay aside so we can give time to Jesus? Because once he starts to move, nothing else will matter anymore. We'll want to be in his presence. It's getting there. Amen. God bless you.
Thanks for listening to our podcast. If you'd like to learn more about Ascent, you can visit our website at ascentchurch.ca.